item will be jointly discussed between the public facilities and everything, and PSNG. 41-11, Alderman Johnson, Alderman Lindstedt, for discussion, elimination, temporary snow emergency of the overnight parking ban, which is in effect from November 15th to April 15th.
I can start it off.
Mr. Coles.
I can start off.
Would you please, Mr. Johnson?
So in your packets, you should have a memo that we hope addresses all the questions that were asked at the last meeting. I do have one change that we need to make to one of the responses. Does anyone have the memo? On page 2 of the questions and responses.
It's attached to the agenda.
Yes. Does everybody see on page 2? There's a bunch of questions and then responses. On page 2, second question to the bottom, where the question says, if a vehicle is parked in a designated space, will they define where you park if a vehicle is parked in a designated space before 2 a.m.? So this response stands with one exception. The second to the last sentence should be stricken. It says, in the event that no parking space is available within the identified zone after 10 p.m., it's recommended that the permit holder contact the Traffic Bureau for additional parking instructions. So if we could just cross off that sentence, we are not going to be encouraging people to call the police. The process would simply be that no parking spot is guaranteed, and we should still have a good faith effort on the part of the permit holder to look for a spot. But if there is no spot, they are subject to a $5 ticket, which they could feel free to appeal. And I think that I spoke to the parking clerk would be likely to grant that appeal, at least during the pilot period. So we have all of the responses. We also have a response from the law department for questions that Alderman Baker asked last time about if the program could exclude students, which the answer is yes, any dormitory could be excluded. Residents of a dormitory could be excluded. And the question about whether the program could be limited only to certain wards or certain neighborhoods, and the answer to that also is yes, it could be. We also have colorful attachments, which is a listing of all the streets in Ward 1. That show for each street different segments along the street and the width. So that was an illustration that was requested. And so I'm here. We have Captain Vermata who can answer questions. Bill is here. And I think we might have Maria coming from the law department.
Okay, questions?
I just wanted to ensure that I was supportive of the language that the law department put together about the limiting it to the single, two-family, and multi-family one. I know that was a concern last time, especially if the pilot is successful and if it were to be adopted in other parts of the city. I know there was concern around the table about how some of the local colleges would affect neighborhoods. So, I'm glad to see that language is in there. I think that addresses the concerns of some of our colleagues who were on the table and how that's impacting their neighborhoods. So, it doesn't necessarily affect our ward during the trial, but it doesn't affect, but, you know, it's, the question's been answered for people who put it out there additionally. You know, I felt that there was a safeguard too, because if for an individual to still come and get a permit, they still have to have an assessment done by the police department. The police department felt that, you know, a college student was just getting a permit because they're in a place to park their car, that's not considered, you know, hardship. So I felt that there were a couple of safeguards there, but I'm glad to see the law department had put that language in there. And secondly, or suggested that language, but I do see that it's in the draft. It's in the draft of the ordinance and pop program. And then additionally, that, you know, I think it does make sense that I think the same person had asked a question about, you know, does it, if the pilot is successful, does it automatically have to be implemented citywide? I think that makes sense too, because there may be other areas of the city that, you know, don't need it. But I would also want to be able for someone anywhere in the city that has a hardship that should be able to come and explain to the police that they have a legitimate hardship. I think part of the problem that has been out there is that this is an overall lifting of the ban, or we're going to do it by neighborhoods or by streets or things like that, and that's not the intent of the program. Individual specific homeowners have to come and explain to the police department why they have a hardship. So, you know, while I appreciate the language, I'm glad to see that it was addressed, it just may not necessarily fit into this because we're not doing it by street or by neighborhood. So, just to put that out there.
So, with respect to the fee, the $80 fee, and the decision been made about, or are we to discuss second and third requests made from the same council, would it still be $80?
Again, this was a proposal by the police department, and they had come up with some costs as to how they had derived that. I think we had actually had talked around the table last time, was it going to be actually per vehicle or per applicant? Am I correct in saying that is what we talked about last time? There was some concern about it being per vehicle.
So do we have to decide that tonight if we vote it?
It probably could be decided by the finance committee.
Okay. So is there a recommendation? So we don't have to worry about that. But is there a recommendation about what the...
Well, the recommendation is in the draft ordinance language, I believe, is $80 per vehicle.
I understand. Yeah. If we wanted a discount...
If you wanted a discount, you are certainly free to offer that change.
So my feeling is that the work that has to go into the first one is substantial, but the second one is the same. It's the same house, the same work, the same neighborhood.
How many visitors?
Well, it's per household, right? So if you have two cars per second permit, it would be the same neighborhood, the same household, the same everything. And so the work would be less, and I think there ought to be some break for the second car. I don't know.
Susan, what would you say, like $50 each additional car,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, I guess I wasn't here last time. I got a breakdown from second there, but after all said and done, we're losing money just giving out that sticker. So almost $10 per car. That's based on the $80. Is that we have a clerk, we got to pay for work, we got to pay the officer time to go down there and do the inspection. The sticker, that's in the application fee. And the last time he was here, it was something like $65.43. But that's before they put the clerk fee, because we need a clerk to work, to process the station.
So I guess my point is that, and maybe it should be $90 if it costs $90. But if it's whatever it is, it should be to cover the cost. But once you've gotten the first sticker for a household, you don't have to go back and analyze anything again. You
still got a lot of stuff. You still got to check out some information like that.
There's some comments, Susan. Sal.
Well, I got Marcia.
Did your question answered? I don't have an answer, but maybe others have comments about it. Or maybe you want to change something.
I just want to make sure.
President Lennon, when we were at Public Safety last time, it was a different item, but it was a particular street, and the issue was an apartment building. So we had, and it was about the resident permit, but still, I mean, the whole thing applies. So how are we taking care of, you know, we say multifamily, that's multifamily, so how do they weigh into this?
I don't know if that, you know.
So I think.
They would certainly be eligible.
That's what I'm saying, so.
But not a dormitory.
That's why I brought it up.
Right, but I don't know, if I may, Jim, correct, I just wanted to look at the definition of multifamily dwelling, that's listed up by the law. So again, I guess it would depend upon the analysis of the police department. You know, right now, everybody from that, I'll just use this in the case you're referencing.
Yep.
During the snow emergency, all those cars are off the street.
Right.
We haven't had an issue with regard to that gentleman's snow emergency. They have shown that they're parking at Crown Plaza during a snow emergency. So, again, I only know of that specific case, and I do know that I haven't gotten complaints by the same folks who were petitioning for the amendment to the resident permit parking program that they're on the street during a snow emergency. Mm-hmm. So, I think we kind of have it addressed because of the always calling out these for the Crown Plaza, but that's not to say that it couldn't happen going forward somewhere else.
Right.
But also, true, at the same time, but I think that one of the things that we talked about with this is that if this pilot or program is successful, we are also talking about raising the $5 fine. So if you're going to raise it to $20 or $25, I'm assuming someone like that is going to make some attempt to really get their car off the street or approach the police about, a permit that and it says in the language, just because someone applies doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get it either. If the police determine that it's not safe or there isn't an area for them to do so, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get the permit. So,
well, it's just that they need to keep that up.
Yeah, well, that's part of the trial, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you have some concerns?
Yeah, I'm just adding on to what Alderman Lennon said. In this particular example, the concern was the residents of Peabody Street, right? With their resident-only parking.
Right.
And so with this plan, it would be up to the police department all winter long, right, to decide where those cars would park overnight. So they certainly could decide not to issue gun permits to park on Peabody Street and to park on Washington Street or Thornton Street, some other street.
But it's just that, apartment buildings are larger than the typical, two-family or three-family. That's something to keep in mind. Thank you. I will definitely support the board. One alderman, if they're willing to take this on, I'd love to both have really good records kept during the trial. For DPW, salting and plowing definitely occurs during non-snow emergency periods, and I would very much be interested in what these cars end up, how they, it ends up affecting the ability to do that well. And also, I don't know how we keep track of this, but I'm very nervous about neighbors being mad at neighbors. Folks who end up getting parking in front of their neighbors' houses when the neighbor can't, when they can't even park in front of their own house, and they're juggling cars because they've got a narrow driveway and the one car is behind the other. So I don't know how, it's probably the ward, the alderman in Ward 1, really, if you can keep track of the kind of the emails and the phone calls that you're getting and what the complaints are, I think would be very helpful as we...
You're talking about everything or just with regard to the program?
Thank you. And, I also feel obliged to be Alderman Baker for one moment and just say, if Alderman Baker were in the room, he would say, in Ward 7, Boston College doesn't provide adequate number of dorm- dorms for all their students. So the juniors typically, not all of them anymore, but still a lot of them live off campus. And they're living in houses, not dorms. And those kids now will be eligible for this. Even though Boston College has a policy that you're not supposed to bring cars to school, all of a sudden I can imagine word going out. If you've got a car, you can bring it when you're a junior, because you can go to the police department and get a house. So I'm just saying, there may be complications in the future.
Driver's license has to have the address where they are there within 30 days. It's Massachusetts state law. And if they have a car registered, it must be transferred within 30 days as well, unless you're a student. If they don't have that shown that they're a resident there, they're going to probably pick it up if they're a student right there anyway.
Well, my understanding from the last time we met jointly with PF is that the as long as you could show that you were renting at that apartment that you had, I think what was actually said, as long as you could bring in a Sports Illustrated and have that address on it, it should, you could get a permit. So if they didn't need to register the car there, they didn't need to have the driver's license, etc. At least that's what I thought the sergeant
said.
I'm just saying what the sergeant told us at the last meeting. So this is for the future. It's not going to affect you guys, but it will be a wrinkle that we'll have to think about in the future if we want to expand.
If you could, so can I just try to make a comment too?
All right.
It's just on this one. So I think for the law department's memo, after the trial, if we want to move forward, you could always put something forward to say, we want these particular streets not part of that program. At least that's the way I read it. Right? That's what we're trying to do with the determination we got from the law department on the resident permanent parking program, is that you can do it by area. You can do the same thing here and say, you know, where those, maybe there's a number of homes together that are part of, that are considered BC, off-campus housing. You may just want to have that street not eligible for this particular program. And then when they come to get a permit, the police will say, that street's not eligible. So.
It'll be interesting to see if then it all has to go to traffic council to decide which streets are in this and which aren't, etc. But again, that's in the future, and God willing, it may never.
So my understanding from the law department is that as long as there's a rational nexus between the program and the areas, certain words could be excluded entirely. All of words are going to be excluded from this, with the thought that most homes in Ward 7 have driveways and have availability to park off the street, so therefore the rational nexus is, is there, and it doesn't need to be part of the program at all.
Interesting.
Well, I got Mark, which was patiently waiting here.
Sure. We had all the let me just try to respond to some comments from my colleagues. I appreciate Alderman Albright's effort to try to relieve some of the burden on folks, but I would not be in favor of engaging that. It seems to me that you have the financial wherewithal to own a car, you can charge the $80 for the permit. I'm very concerned here that we actually be doing this at a loss, that really does concern me. So I think whatever we do here, we ought to keep it as simple as possible. And I think it's simpler for the police department to say, you got a car, it's $80. Not have to worry about it if you're the second car coming or the third car coming. That's just my preference. I'm going to support this because my colleague in Ward 1 think it's a good idea for Ward 1. And I do think that pilot programs generally are very thoughtful and good ways of approaching difficult problems. I share a lot of the concerns that have been raised by Alderman Fuller. Illustration for apartment buildings. You get an apartment building and some, I'll use the word kid because that's maybe my age, but some 24-year-old like my kid goes in there, and then he gets two other buddies to live with him, and when they go in, they have one parking space. He says, okay, one of us is going to get a car, we're going to you know, buy a junker, or we're going to, you know, get our client to give us a car, and all of a sudden, they now can all get their cars there, and we've increased to three cars, and really an area that's designed for one. So I think we've got to be really conscious of that kind of inadvertent effect. It's very different than the homeowner who's, for whatever reason, bought into a house where it's you know, two adults and maybe an adult child, and they have one parking space. And those are the concerns you're trying to alleviate, and they're legitimate. I'm just really concerned about the unintended consequences. I share all the fullest concern about our ability to sand and plow streets. There's lots of times we are out there, there's an inch of snow, the sanders are out there, the plows are out there, there's no snow emergency, and we do a great job in this city of just getting all the streets cleared out. If you go to an area where there's a lot of parking, city where there's a lot of parking in the street, you know, during non-snow emergencies, you don't get that kind of effort. And finally, I think whatever we do here, we ought to reduce the any bureaucratic effort as much as possible. I don't want us to be burdening our police officers, who are really highly trained individuals, with a lot of parking stuff. And I'm concerned about that. So with all those statements, I'm going to support this, but I really want to look at it very closely. And in my mind, be very clear that I'm only supporting it in Ward 1 as a pilot.
Sure.
We have a lot of fees in this city that are costing us money that we have not, that it's costing the city money. We're charging a fee and it's too low. And I know we've tried to bring them up to at least the city's cost. But I think to start a program that we know is costing us money is not a good idea. I mean, your budget isn't going up that much. And I really feel that it should not be one penny less than it's costing us. And not only the clerical part, but we're also talking ticketing and patrolling during and extra patrols during snow emergency. I mean, there's a lot more added to that fee than a clerk. So I for finance, if we could get a real detailed, real life cost analysis.
I mean, but this doesn't take into account of like a snow emergency. We can go up there and make sure it's out of there.
So, right.
We do that now, anyway.
Well, we do it now, but now...
But now they'll be extra cars.
Just this one area, now that you're going to be granting...
Right.
You just say...
So that'll be...
You just say 50 cars. So that's 50 cars that we're able for.
Right.
Probably now you're able to make sure that...
I don't know how you can figure that out, how many extra patrols.
Well, you figure probably the floor was working a shift. If they have a shift, they're probably... Probably at the end of the day, that's how it's put. You know, it's $200.
Okay, because if we could get a realistic, for finance, a realistic view, I mean, are we printing permits? I mean, there's a lot of different parts to this, so I think we should at least be even on it. I was not here for the last discussion, but municipal lots, so the people can park in municipal lots. Do we use the municipal lots for anything else during snow emergencies? Do we use municipal lots for anything else?
We're not supposed to. They're supposed to move their vehicles out of municipal lots during snow emergencies.
Okay, so but now we're saying people can park in them or no?
You can park in municipal lots during the winter, which is still supposed to be out during the snow emergency.
It still would have to be out.
Not on municipal.
Okay. So that's not an additional issue here, it's just a regular issue here. And I have received correspondence and calls from people in my ward. And when you were talking before about maybe Ward 7, you know, everybody has a driveway. Well, first of all, I can't imagine everybody in Ward 7 has enough room for their cars, but I know in Ward 8, there are a lot of people that don't, and I know people in specifically some people are parking on their grass with an extra car. We would not do that anyway, but so I think depending on how this goes, I don't think we should be completely excluded. I don't think if we do end up going forward that should be happening. I think this is gonna be a lot more work for the city, and I want to make sure we can afford it. So
that's it. Yes, you know that.
So I echo what you said about if it costs $90 or whatever it costs, I think we should, if we vote this tonight, I think it should be said that the dollar value should be filled in by the time it gets to finance with the real cost. And I would also like to finance, if you could try and analyze what the actual cost would be for a second car. You know, would you imagine it being less or not? Because to me, it feels like it's the same analysis for the second car as for the first. So I think you should raise the base value, because if it doesn't cost 80, if it costs 90, it should be 90. And I think you should see if the second car would cost less. But I leave that discussion for finance, knowing that I really would hope that that discussion will take place at finance.
Okay, next I have some questions.
Thank you. One of the things that I think is important that I'm surprised he hasn't done it tonight, but usually always the pony reminds us, we're talking between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So all your concerns about standing and this and that, they occur right now. That people can have their cars and their streets until 2 a.m. So if we have to do standing or whatever, I mean, if the cars are there now, what do they do? So it's that overnight 4 hours, and I don't know. You know, I mean, they need to be off the street. They need to be off the street, and DPW will know where they are. We have got the street listing, and I don't know if they can't be Bill or David, but thank you, of the street. So I think, you know, we have a little more information. And I can tell you, in my neighborhood, people park all the time, and every 2 weeks, people get tagged randomly. Some people get tagged, some people don't. Same night, different street. So I don't know. Anyway, so this, you know, obviously I'm not in the pilot, but we should be a little more organized because we know where the cars are.
Okay, next I have for Scotty.
Just to follow up, Marcy made one of my points was about the non-sufficiency salting and plowing, because if you get an event that happens at 10:30 at night, and they're going out to salt and sand, this program makes no difference because it's only between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. That's current ordinance now. So I appreciate that you brought that up. And the police and the DPW have the ability, no matter what time it is, and whether there's a snow emergency declared or not, if salting and sanding or plowing is being impeded, you have the ability to ticket and tow no matter what, right? If they're in the way, you have that authority to do that now. So that's another point I wanted to make. The $80, you know, I was thinking about what you said afterwards, Susan. I think about the $80. I think we should keep it for now, because what we'd like to understand, to Alderman Fuller's point, is that if, say people aren't taking advantage of the program, and we're taking the records that she's asked us to take, 9 out of 10 people say, it's too expensive, I can't do it. I think we want to know that. So I would prefer to keep it rather than have it discounted for the second car. I think we want to know for the pilot what it actually people feel about what's going on. They can tell us if they feel that the fees are too high, then that's, we'll have to take that into consideration as we do it. The last piece I just wanted to make was, in terms of what Captain Bramada said, I was also hoping, I guess I maybe thought about this incorrectly, that for the pilot, that the $5 fee would be raised. Because then we would have a good understanding as to, you know, if we're actually getting cars off the street. Because if we do the pilot and we keep the fee at $5, you're going to have the additional people who are going forward with, you know, wanting to be in the program, then you're going to have the same individuals year after year who for just staying on the street because it's only $5. And that's, you know, it's not a, you know, heavy burden. So we could see some additional cars on the street because we're going to have both. If we had the program, the pilot program in place with a higher fee, you may see some of those people who are only paying $5 paid off the street, and you'd have a true indication as to really what's going to be on the street. So my thought is that I don't want to slow this down, but we may want to docket an additional item to take up for finance to raise that fee. That's my thought. I want to flush that out a little more, but I think it's going to give us a true indication as to what's really going to come on.
I got a question. If we do try to do that, Mr. Chairman, can we do it during the pilot program?
I don't see why not. We're charging fees for other things in the area. We just want to get clarification.
I just don't want somebody to come by and say, well, you get a pilot program over there, you're charging $25, you're charging only us $5 for parking overnight over here.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, when we say why.
I guess I want to say that I too am inclined to support the pilot by the time we get to the full board. We got to get a sustain tonight because I feel really strongly that we shouldn't be putting a pilot forward if we're not capturing the full cost of it so that we can see how it flies in real terms. I agree with looking at the citywide, illegal overnight parking. And I also, this has been said, but I feel like I just want to say it one more time because I feel strongly about this too. To the degree that it's possible, imagine a real cost including the staff time that it's going to take to do additional patrols. I'm not concerned about the cost as much as I am about the staff time, because I don't see that we're going to add a police officer to the department in order to facilitate this program, but really, and this goes to tracking data too, but you know, really to understand how much extra effort, if any, but how much extra effort this takes, and so what else, you know, is staff not doing?
May I sit down?
Sure.
The traffic bureau is not involved with it anymore. The patrol that does the overnight parking, they're the ones that do it. They do it now. Once the parking bay goes into effect, there's going to be no change for that. None.
So there's no extra time because of the extra time you have to spend in this one area? No?
Well, I went in and inspected.
Just looking for the sticker in the window.
I mean, it's going to be good. It's like night at night at 2 o'clock to 6, well, it's at 3 o'clock, we'll say. The patrol car here, they're up here doing the thing, tagging cars. Traffic is going to be any burden on traffic is going to be doing the actual, you know, checking out the records of the vehicle wherever the site. It's going to take up time with one of my offices.
A street patrol is one thing. If you wind up with a bunch of cars parked illegally during the snow emergency, you have to have take extra time to clear the streets because of the program. That's another thing.
They hire at times, though, too, don't they? Yeah. Attendants. If it's a big storm.
Big stores, they got it.
Well, I'm just hoping that you're doing I'm sure you will do a really careful assessment of what it's really going to take to manage this. Huh?
Right.
Yeah, I know. But I very much want to see the cost of it reflect the real cost.
Well, I just want to comment something that Oliver Lennon and Johnson said. You're absolutely right about there's a 2 to 6 window, and there's a good reason for that, because you don't want to penalize people who may be visiting someone's house and say 11 or 11:30. But the practical fact is, while it may be 2 to 6, if I'm the homeowner, I live there. In the summer months, I park my car occasionally in front of the house. In the winter, I know I can't, and I don't wait, because I don't live that late. I don't wait to go out till 2 in the morning, have my car parked in front and move it. So the practical effect is that the ban does keep people off the street for a much longer period of time, my observation, at night. The second thing is I appreciate that the police were the ability to find a tow car that was impeding sanding. As a practical matter, I don't see that likely to happen unless there was something grossly in the way. And second, I actually wouldn't want the police to be ticketing somebody who's parked on the street at midnight when there's not a snow emergency. I mean, it seems to me that person then would be placed in... Well, but the problem is if we're sanding. So if we're sanding and plowing, we can't do
we
it.
We have that problem right now.
I think we have it much less. I mean, my observation, my neighborhood...
My street, yeah, you're not looking at the...
Right. Come to my neighborhood. I get commercial property all around me where I live.
In residential areas, when we have a parking ban, unless people are having guests or a party, it keeps the cars off the street. And without the parking ban, my observation in significant parts of purely residential parts of the city, without the parking ban, there are lots of cars that need help on the street for lots of different reasons. And so I just think we have to be aware of that. That's all. As I said earlier. So.
Okay, I think we've spent enough time on this. Does anybody have anything different to say?
I think it's ready for a vote, Mr. Chairman.
I think so too. Is there a motion?
I'll move the pilot as presented.
I'm moving public safety.
All in favor of this motion? Opposed? Abstained? We are standing 3-4.
Okay.
The best we can do there.
I'm going to wait to see what happens.
Okay, that's the end of that one.
I'm paying one.
Six zero. Okay.
If I can't get that out of the
way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very much. God bless you.
Thank you. You're on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of Public Safety and Transportation for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. Present this evening, we have on the other tape as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I can go down it. Alderman Fuller had to leave, but there's myself, Alderman Ciccone, Alderman Johnson, Alderman Hani, Alderman Swiston, Alderman Yates, Alderman Schwartz, and Committee Clerk Danielle Delaney. We took up 4111, and that's that was a joint meeting with Public Facilities, and our vote was 6-0 with no
Alderman Fuller.
And Alderman Fuller was not voting. Okay. Our second item of the evening, 300-12. I will entertain a motion of no action necessary for this because the Director of Planning Development, Candace Havens, has put this, and I'll read it out anyway. Director of Planning Development requesting amendments to Chapter 19 to establish perimeters around which parking meter holidays may be allowed and identifying the authority for making determinations of eligibility. That has been combined in with docket item
299-12.
The whole parking plan.
Into the whole parking plan.
Policy-based management plan for parking, yes.
So, I can take a motion.
So, move that AN.
Alderman Swiston moves NAN on 300-12. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor? 6-0.
Move to adjourn.
Alderman Yates moves to adjourn at 7:59.
Nice.
What time
is the first pitch?
8:07.
I think the last one is a little.